Welcome to the Garmia Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We're so glad you're listening to the pod and trust that this message encourages your heart and faith today. At GBC, we're all about partnering with God in the renewal and restoration of all things, and it's our hope that through these sermons, you'll discover the life-changing power of Jesus. If you'd like to join us in person or online or find out more, check out our website at garmiabaptist.org.au.
Good morning, everyone. Today we're going to read from Acts 2, verses 1 to 12. And it's titled, The Holy Spirit Comes at Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one of them heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and other parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?"
It's Pentecost, and at GBC, we have a lot of people who speak a lot of different languages. So we ask them to say the Lord's Prayer in their language.
Pater imon, oentis uranes.
Geheilig zijt o naam.
Koninkrijk kom, uw wil geschied.
Xing zai di shang, ru tong xing zai tian shang.
Give me this day my daily bread.
Waghfir lana zunubana, kama naghfir nahnu aydan lil muznibina ilayna.
Y no nos metas en tentación, mas líbranos del mal.
Kunito chikarato sakaeto wa nanji no mononari.
Kei doxas estu ionas. Amen.
How good is that, huh, GBC people? What do you think? Pretty good, huh? Love that. Just absolutely wonderful to see so many people. And I know we probably could have gotten a few more, actually, speaking a bunch of different languages. So thanks, everyone who spoke at that. And thanks, Martin Johnson, for putting that together for us. We'll pop that out on social media so you can have another look at that again as we commemorate today, Pentecost Sunday. Fantastic. So hi and welcome. If you don't know me, I'm Roxanne. Great to see you. I'm also Roxanne, even if you don't know me. But it is great to be here with you today as we go through Acts 2 Pentecost. Now, if you snap that QR code, go to Linktree, follow the link to the Bible. There's a longer reading there on the YouVersion Bible app, which you can grab if that's helpful. Otherwise, if you've got a Bible, turn to your Bible. If you've got a phone, just Google it. You'll be right. You'll get there. We're looking at Pentecost, and Pentecost can be a bit of a strange thing, I think, in the Christian church, depending on your background and your denomination and what you've heard about it. For some people, they're all in, and others are a bit, oh, hang on, that's a bit strange. So I kind of want to kind of unpack Pentecost with us a little bit today. One of the things that you might need to know about Pentecost is the word pent is 50. And it was a festival that was celebrated by the Jews 50 days after the Passover. So Passover, as you know, is when the Jews celebrate, and it's when Jesus died and went to the cross and then 3 days later rose again. 50 days after that, the Jewish people celebrated the Feast of Pentecost, which is where they took the harvest and made loaves out of the first fruits of the harvest and offered it to God. So it was this sort of first fruits offering to God, but also it was a time when they commemorated the giving of the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. So first fruits and giving of the law. And we're not going to go too much into that, but there's a little bit of foreshadowing there. And so what's happened now in Pentecost is Jesus has actually said to his disciples, he said to the believers, wait, just hold your horses. I want you to go and wait in Jerusalem. This is Acts chapter 1. And he says, just wait. John baptized with water, but in a few days, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And he says, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So here they are gathered. They're following Jesus' instructions. They're not building anything, not doing anything, just waiting there for power to come on high. And it's this extraordinary group of people. And I think it's important for us to kind of to put that into place in where it sits in the gospel, Pentecost, right? It's not something we normally do, is to decorate the church like this and to kind of focus in on it. But I think sometimes we have a really narrow view of what the gospel is and what Jesus came to do and what God does in our life. We often talk about the life, death, and resurrection of Christ as though that was kind of the end and that was the be-all, end-all. But in this, I kind of want to take a giant step back and have a bit of a look about God's big plan, God's big purpose, and not just the life, death, resurrection of Christ, but God's big plans and purpose, the life, death, resurrection, ascension of Christ, and then the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the birth of the church. So this sort of bigger picture look that we're going to have today. So my question for you, though, is have you ever played one of those kids' games, like a spot the difference puzzle game, right? You know, where you you have two pictures and they kind of look identical, but they're not the same, and you've got to kind of like, you know, the duck is wearing a hat, and the duck's got a teapot, right? And it's spot the difference. Or you could even sort of think of it, you've ever had that expression, same, same, but different? I don't know if you've ever used that expression. Oh, it's a bit like that. It's same, same, but different. In Pentecost, we've got a whole bit of spot the difference and a bit of same, same, but different. Another way to put what's happening here is we're seeing some echoes from the Old Testament, some things that God has done before, some throwbacks, some same, same, but different about some things that have happened in the Old Testament that we're going to see come here in this passage. Yep. Awesome. All right, let's dig in, because we are in the day of Pentecost and they're all together in one place, not just the 12, all the disciples, all the people that are following Jesus at the time. And all of a sudden there's a sound like the blowing of a violent wind comes from heaven. It fills the whole house where they're sitting. Same, same, different. Where have we seen wind before in the Old Testament? Where's the echo of this that we're hearing? Well, you might think in your reading of the Bible, I've seen wind before. God has used wind to show his activity and his presence before. We've seen the wind as it parts the Red Sea for God's people to go through the Red Sea out of slavery in Egypt and into the Promised Land. We've seen the wind in the Valley of the Dry Bones when Ezekiel is there and God sends this huge wind and the Valley of the Dry Bones comes together and forms this living army that God makes. We've seen wind in the still small voice that speaks to Elijah on the mountainside. So we see this wind and we know that something in wind and it denotes that God is active and that God is now present in this place. But there's not only wind, we go on. And the presence of God is there in the wind, but here is another thing where the presence of God we see. It is the tongues of fire that comes. These tongues of fire comes and separates and comes to rest on all of them. Same, same, different. Spot the difference. Where do we see tongues of fire? Where do we see the presence of God revealed in fire in the Old Testament? Well, we see this in a bunch of ways. You might think of Moses in front of the burning bush, the bush that it's on fire, but it's not consumed. That holy fire that means that God is present. He is there. He is active. He is doing a new thing in this space. You might think of the time when they built the temple and they put a sacrifice and fire comes down from heaven and consumes the sacrifice. Or Elijah and the prophets of Baal has this sacrifice and he pours like a lot of water on it, but God still sends down fire and consumes this sacrifice. And we can see that this denotes God's presence and activity. It has in the past and it has here in Pentecost Sunday. God is with them. He is present. Jesus has gone back to heaven and is ruling at the right hand of God the Father, and he has now sent God in the form of the Holy Spirit to be with them and present. And what happens to them? Here it is. They then were filled with this Holy Spirit and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Tongues there is just languages. That's the word there. So it's just other languages as God has enabled them. And I don't know what it would have been like. It would have been incredible. All of a sudden, all these people start speaking all these different languages. Well, what's that like? What's the spot, the difference there, right? What's the same, same, but different? What's the echo of the past that we might look at with these other languages? Well, I think there's a story. And there is actually a story where God sends languages way back in Genesis chapter 11. And it's the story of the Tower of Babel. I used to call it Babel, but then I think that sounds like a tower made of those Baby Bell cheeses. So I've switched to Babel because it sounds like babbling. Is everyone agreeing with that? Yes and amen, and on we go. So, the Tower of Babel. Here is this story. Let me tell you about what's happening in the Tower of Babel, this little echo from the past. The world had one language and a common speech, and as people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and they settled there. And they said, come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They used brick instead of stone and tar instead of mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we might make a name for ourselves, and otherwise we're going to be scattered all over the face of the earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower they were building, and the Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language, they've begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse the language so they won't understand each other. And the Lord scatters them, and it's called the Tower of Babel. I can imagine them babbling. So here you've got this story in the Old Testament where people have harnessed this new technology called bricks, like, whoa, hello, and they're building this tower and trying to make a name for themselves. And you think, well, what's wrong with that, right? Like, it's just a tower. I mean, we build stuff all the time. You know, people build towers now with their name on them. Like, it's not that big a deal. But really what it is these people have decided to unify and come together and make their name great, and they're unifying and coming together without a unifying force. They're coming together not around a central figure like the Lord God Almighty. They're coming together around just themselves. And it's self-serving. It's not God-serving. And to build a tower up to heaven is not just a tower. It's actually a means in the ancient world to control God, to manipulate God, to have what we want instead of what God wants, to make our plans, our purposes, our thoughts, our ideas, and to say, God, you do what I want you to do. To set yourself up against God is what they're doing. And so when God comes down, it's not that he fears they're building a tower. God's not afraid of them. This is an act of grace and an act of mercy, because he can see that the end point of all this unity without a central thing to hold them together and all this self-serving, self-building is going to end in disaster. And so this act of grace, God comes down and he gives them languages. And he gives them languages, confuses them. They can't talk to one another. They can't make bricks anymore, so they can't talk. And then he divides and scatters them as an act of grace. And this is what he does. It's interesting that the thing they want to do is to make their name great. They want to put themselves up against God and without God. Because I actually see that in our world still today. That heart is still there. There's, and you can probably look back in just in recent history, and you can see nations that have tried to do this. That nations just want to exclude God out of the picture, and they want to pull people together and make themselves great. But it's all about a dictator, and instead of unity, you get uniformity, and all of a sudden, there's in and there's out. And nations can be built this way. And you see it in dictators throughout the world. You can even see it in individuals. Often we want to build our own thing. We want to use our modern technology. We want to build our own life. And we want to make our name great. And we want to receive the blessings and the benefits that God gives, but we don't want God. It's like we want the gift without the giver. We want to separate and say, no, God, I'm in charge. I'm building it. I'm going to manipulate you. And that's what they do back then. But God comes down, gives them these languages, and The very next story in Genesis chapter 12, because this is chapter 11, the very next story, God, not only does he take them, scatter them, divide them, give them languages, say, no, your name's not going to be great. God actually then turns to Abram. And he says this to Abram, Abram, I'm doing the building. And I'm going to be building, and I'm going to make you into a great nation. And I'm going to bless you. And you know what? I'm going to make your name great. Abram, I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to bless those who bless you, curse those who curse you. And you know what, Abram? I'm going to bless through you all the nations of the world. All of the nations of the world. God has a plan. God has his purpose, and God has made a promise. And instead of people setting themselves up against God, God says, no, I am in charge, and I have a plan, and I have a purpose, and I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that through Abraham, and I'm going to do that through Israel, and I'm going to do that through the people of Israel. And you're going to see my plan come through all of Scripture, through my promises to the kings, to David, and it's going to come to fruition. It's going to come to completion in Jesus. And that is where my plan is going to be. You know whose name's going to be made great? I'll tell you who. It's Jesus. Spoiler alert. Jesus' name's going to be made great. And you know what? I'm going to bless all the nations of the world through Jesus. So Pentecost. Pentecost Sunday. Spot the difference. Same, same, but different. What happens on Pentecost Sunday? Well, it's almost like it's a reversal of the Tower of Babel, because God comes down. The people are gathered and they are waiting for God. They're following Jesus' authority. Jesus says, wait, they wait. Jesus says, wait for the Holy Spirit. There they are, praying, collected, joined together, waiting for God. And the presence of God comes in power through a mighty wind and through flames. And God, in his goodness and mercy, gives them the ability to speak different languages. And these languages don't confuse. These languages clarify. These languages that God has given enable God's name to be made great. These languages help people from all the known nations of the world come to hear about God and his goodness and his plan. They declare that they can hear the wonders of God in our own tongues. And not only does it bring about clarity, not confusion, it actually brings about unity. And instead of dividing and scattering the nations, God actually brings them together, and they come together and they are amazed and they are perplexed. And they say, what God does this mean? God is the one who brings them together. God is the central thing to which their lives are organized. He is the one that is worshipped. He is the one that is lifted high in this. So not only is it God's presence, but we see that it's God's purpose that is rolled out here in Pentecost. And Peter then is filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't you love Peter? Love Peter. He just gets on in there. But this time, he's got the Holy Spirit with him, so we're going to go good. So he gets in there, he's got the Spirit, and he steps up and he speaks to the crowd, and he goes on a preaching tear. He absolutely nails it. He crushes it. And he proclaims Christ to all who can hear, to all who are listening. And he speaks about God's purposes from the beginning, how his promises to David to always have a king on the throne, for the Messiah that was going to come, that Jesus is going to come. And he speaks that out loud. And he says here, God raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and poured out what you now see and hear. And he speaks that out. And we see here in Pentecost, not only the presence of God, but the purpose of God come to fruition. That God says, I'm building it. I'm doing it. I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to make the nation of Israel. And you know what? all the nations of the world. And we get this little foretaste. And this actually becomes some sort of spiritual ground zero for the good news of Jesus, right? This is the zone where the Holy Spirit comes, and it comes first to these God-fearing Jewish people who know Jesus. And then in Acts chapter 10, you can read this later, it's going to come then to Gentiles who knew, right? And it's going to come to the Gentiles, and they're included in the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it's going to go out. And just like Jesus says, these people are going to be their witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And this ripple effect is happening. God's presence and God's purpose are seen at Pentecost. And you know, the other thing I really love about this, back in that Tower of Babel story, they wanted to be unified, didn't they? They wanted to gather together. They're like, yeah, we're gonna do this. We're gonna unify around. What are we gonna unify around us? Nothing, just us without God. But here in Pentecost, we are unified under the Lordship of Christ, and the unity is not uniformity and it's not destructive. It's creative and it's inclusive and it's beautiful. And we see that in the passages. There's 9 different languages that hear the word of God. And they represent these cardinal points on the compass. They're kind of in a north, south, east, west. They go around. And it's basically all the known world at the time is listed here. Even some islands, like they've got the island of Crete and they've got the desert language. They've got the deserts, the Arabs, like all of it. And that's the unity that we have. And the unity here, it's not about status or education, because when God is present and his purposes come out of Pentecost, it's not about status. These are just Galileans. And it says in verse 7, utterly amazed, they asked, aren't all those who are speaking Galileans? Like Galileans? Like, you know what I mean? Galileans, right? I mean, in John chapter 1, Philip kind of bags them out a little bit, because he says, you know, can anything good come from Nazareth, capital of Galilee? Like, can anything good come from there? Like, yeah. It's not about who you are. It's not about your socioeconomic. It's not about your background. It's not about where you come. It's not about the language you speak. You are included here in the presence of God and the purposes of God. This incredible unity. And then Peter, in his preach, reminds them, and he says, nah, you know what, here it is. This is what was spoken about long ago. Talk about same, same, different. Talk about an echo from the past. Joel the prophet says, in these last days, God says, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all people. Sons, daughters are going to prophesy. Old men, young men, servants, both men and women. I'm going to pour out my spirit in these last days. I'm going to prophesy. And so it's not about your age or your gender or what you've done. The Holy Spirit is no respecter of persons like that. He will take you, regardless of where you are from, where your background is, what your education level is, who you are, how old you are. It doesn't matter. He wants to fill you and use you. And here we have this beautiful foretaste of heaven. One of the missionaries said this in the video, right? I think it was Heather, said that it's a foretaste of heaven where every tribe, tongue, nation is gathered in heaven, just all worshiping God. How good is Pentecost, huh? How good is God that he has done this incredible thing? But friends, it doesn't end there. They didn't kind of go, that was great. Awesome. God can never top this. Guess we'll just sit around and wait now for Jesus to come back. That's not what happened, right? That's not what happened, because God's presence and purpose continues to this day. And this is the birth of the church. This is the start of the new era, the new epoch in time, where we see God continue to move, continue in his plans, his purposes, to continue to reach the whole world with the good news of Jesus Christ. And church, we are a part of that. You and I here are a part of that. We're part of God's plan and purpose to reach the whole world with the good news of Jesus Christ. But I think sometimes there's a few things that can get in the way for us to join in that mission. A couple of things that can get in the way is that we don't feel part of the unity. We self-exclude. We say, oh, that can't be for me. I can't be part of God's mission here. I can't really experience God's presence and be part of his purpose. You know, I'm not clever. I can't stand up on a platform and preach. I'm not a Peter. I can't suddenly quote Joel and, you know, preach out to thousands of people. and we self-exclude. But we've got to remember, these are Galileans, don't you know? This is not done through Peter's strength. It's not done through their strength. It's done through power from on high, the strength of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't depend on them, and doesn't depend on them, and doesn't depend on me, and it doesn't depend on you. It's what God does in you and through you and with you, or rather you do it with God. It doesn't depend on your background, your language. It depends on God working through you. So don't exclude yourself through excuses or hang-ups or a word that someone has spoken over you in your past or something that somebody has said that one time and you think, I can't. Listen instead to the voice of the Holy Spirit as it invites you to join in that unity. Might also be that you need to consider about who you are excluding, that God is a God of inclusion. God is the God who welcomes. And we need to be more like that in welcoming people into his kingdom and his presence and his purpose. Another thing that can stop us is when we don't quite understand the presence of the Holy Spirit. We can read a passage like Acts 2, right? And we can be like, you know what? I can imagine being in that upper room. There's no mistaking it, right? There's wind, there's fire, there's languages. You know, like even blind Freddy can see that God is at work here, right? And sometimes for us, we can think that every experience with the Holy Spirit has to be this mountaintop experience. It has to be the flames and the wind and the language. It has to be this supernatural. But friends, I want to tell you that sometimes the Holy Spirit speaks super normal, right? And that is legitimate as well. That the voice of the Holy Spirit as the presence of God in us isn't just always bells and whistles. Sometimes it is that still small voice of the Spirit. I want to encourage you this week, as you're thinking about the presence of God and how God is revealed in your life and how the Spirit speaks to you and in you and with you and through you, that it might not be supernaturally strange. Sometimes it is. God is God. God is in charge. He will do what he wants to do. But often it is supernormal. And the work of the Spirit in us might look like the fruit of the Holy Spirit in us. It might look like God shaping us so that we image Christ more, that we reflect him more, that he might be saying to you, you know, work on your patience. Let's work on that patience. Let's work on that faithfulness. Oh, you know what? Let's work on that gentleness. Let's shape you so that you reflect Christ in a better way, more fully, so that when people come into connection with you, they don't just see you. They see me living in and through you. And sometimes the presence of God helps us to reveal things about ourselves. Sometimes the presence of God and the presence of the Holy Spirit doesn't just help us to see, you know, like what God does, but it helps us to kind of reveal things that we've held on to, sins that we've held on to, pain that we've held on to, difficulties that we've hung on to, people that we probably could have forgiven, but we haven't. And sometimes when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, it's just to gently remind us of those things so that we might come before God and repent and give that over and have him heal in us. So don't self-select yourself out of unity. Don't self-select yourself out of God's presence of the Holy Spirit through both supernatural and supernormal means, but also purpose. God has a purpose for us. God's purposes from the very beginning were clear, and he was faithful to them all through Scripture. And we see that here in Acts chapter 2, God's purposes have come out. God is with his people through the enabling presence of the Holy Spirit, and God has a purpose, and that's to renew and restore all things in Jesus Christ. And he is inviting us to participate in that purpose. And sometimes we can self-select out of that, and we can go, oh, that's for the clever. That's for the smart. I could never. I don't know how to do that at work. I don't know how to do that at school. I don't know how to do that in my family. How do I engage with the purposes of God? How do I do that? And that can be a thing that we struggle with, and we don't know how to ground it, how to land it, how to make ourselves available and open for the Holy Spirit to use us in his purpose. One of the things that happened in Acts chapter 2 is Peter is able to proclaim God and he's able to make Jesus' name great. He's able to share Jesus' name. And for us, that might be a challenge that we struggle with. How do I engage with the purposes of God? And how do I make it about Jesus and not about me? How do I proclaim Jesus in a place where I can't even talk about him? How do I do that? How do I be transformed on the inside, trusting in God and engaging his purpose? And it's a struggle. And it's difficult. And it's difficult to preach on, to be honest, because it's different for every one of us. But that's why we have the Holy Spirit. Because it's not up to me to tell you. It's not even up to you to tell you. It's actually up to the Holy Spirit and his presence speaking in your life. And as you draw aside and you rest in his presence and you attune yourself to what God is doing and you listen to scripture, that the purposes of God and the invitation of God becomes clear to you. So I want to encourage you today that the Holy Spirit is active and alive. Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father. The Holy Spirit is at work and he is inviting you to experience his presence and be engaged in his purpose. So in a minute, we're going to have the band to come up and they're going to lead us in a song. And as we sing, we're going to have a couple of members of the prayer team down. If you're feeling a bit dry or a bit bruised or a bit hurt or a bit cracked or a bit something, and you just want to experience a little bit of the Lord, let me just encourage you to come forward and receive some prayer. I'll be up the front. A couple of members of the prayer team will be up the front. If you're thinking, you know what, I don't know, what's my purpose, God? You know, God, you are so big and so incredible and you've got this purpose from the beginning of Scripture and here I am and I don't, how do I engage with this, God? How do I do this? How do I live out the purpose that you have for me in renewing and restoring the world? Let me encourage you to come forward for prayer or pray with a person near you, because, friends, the Holy Spirit speaks. And the Holy Spirit speaks through Scripture and sometimes through other people and sometimes through that still small voice. And you know what? When we ask, God answers. God answers prayer. So if that's you and you're feeling like you want to be engaged in God's purposes, you don't know how, let me encourage you to pray that today, to ask God. Because it does not matter how old you are, what gender you are, where you are from, what language you speak, whether you're Galilean, whether you're from Mount Druid or the Shire, it does not matter. God has given you, if you are a believer, his Holy Spirit. It is with you now. And it is available. God is available to hear your prayers. So that's what I want to encourage you to do, to pray for that new sense of the presence of the Holy Spirit and the purpose that God has for you. So will you stand with me and pray? And then the band are going to lead us in worship. Loving God, oh Lord, I just thank you so much for Pentecost. I thank you, God, that you are a God who reverses things, Jesus. Where once you gave language to divide, now you gave language to unite and to declare who you are. And Lord, together, we just want to come under your lordship right now, Lord God, under your lordship. We don't want to do this apart from you. We don't want to do our life apart from you, God. We can't. None of us can. But Lord, we are utterly dependent on you and utterly dependent on the Spirit's work in us and through us and with us. And Lord, I pray for every person here who may be just needing an extra understanding, an extra awareness of your Holy Spirit right now, that they might know your presence, they might hear your still small voice, that it might be the whisper, the flame, that it might be the voice, the song, whatever it is, that they would be certain and know and rest in and trust in your presence. And Lord, for those of us who aren't sure what our purpose is, or who are tired, or who want it but are confused. Lord, I pray that you would give us clarity. God, you are the God of clarity, not confusion, and I pray that you will strengthen, enable us, help us to see how we can live out your purposes in our daily life. And Lord, we ask that because we want to partner with you in what you're doing. God, there is nothing better than that. Nothing better, Jesus. So Lord, we just come before you and we say thank you, God, for the gift of the Spirit, that it's not just for then, but it is for now and in the future. And we look together to the time of the Lord's coming, when every tribe and tongue and nation on earth will be gathered together before the throne, celebrating, honoring, and worshiping you. And together, in every language, the church said, amen. Amen. Thanks, team.
Thanks for listening to this sermon podcast. We hope you found inspiration and encouragement, and God used this message to speak to you. If you want to connect more with GBC, you can follow us on social media or contact us via our website. You can also get to know some of the people from our church community through the We Are the Church podcast. Real stories of real people sharing how Jesus has shaped and transformed their life. We pray you experience the transforming power of Jesus in your life, and pray that God blesses you today.